Hi, and welcome to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Al Roker has worn many hats over the course of his career, and I don't mean just the snappy fedoras he sports every morning delivering the weather on Today. Roker's an author, an accomplished chef. He's been a WrestleMania ringside announcer. He's also a big-time media mogul as owner and CEO of Al Roker Entertainment, for which he produces TV shows for networks like Animal Planet and makes positive reality programming like this one called Girl Starter.
Eight young women, all who aspire to make their mark in the startup world. Now, they'll have their chance. We call them Girl Starters.
Oh my God, it's real.
Girls who are smart, driven, passionate, and ready to risk it all for the chance to launch their own business.
As if that weren't enough to keep him busy, now Al Roker can add Broadway star to his lengthy resume. Roker's joined the cast of the Tony-nominated musical Waitress. He's taken on the role of Old Joe, the diner owner. He began the run last week. He'll star through November 11th. Waitress is currently at the Brooks Atkinson Theater, and Al Roker is currently in our studio. Hi, Al.
Hi, Allison. Actually, we've extended now to November 18th.
You might be doing something right.
I haven't stunk up the joint. But it's a little depressing because somebody said, well, why did they ask you to do it? I said, well, the character's name is Old Joe. So, you know, I'm kind of like halfway there. Nobody was thinking of me as young, hunky Dr. Pometer. No, I'm Old Joe.
You're avuncular. You're wise. There's wisdom. There's wisdom with age.
I guess.
How was the first night?
You know, it's kind of a blur. I mean, I had the Today Show family came out en masse. I mean, we had about 50 people who came.
I saw a picture. Yeah, we have friends in common on Facebook.
Yes,
that was
yes.
funny.
and my family came, including my daughter, who's going to school in Paris. She surprised me because she told me she wasn't going to be able to come because of some midterms. And so it was a bit of a blur. But yeah, I got through it. And now I'm kind of getting a little more comfortable with it. But this isn't anything like... Look, I've spent... almost 50 years ad-libbing doing the weather. So to have to follow a script is a weird kind of thing.
And light cues and stage cues.
Yes.
You have to hit your mark.
Yeah, at the end, I won't give it away, but I have to hit a mark because there's a light cue. And what's interesting, there's no room backstage. These theaters, these older theaters on Broadway have no space. So you've got to kind of move back and forth and back and forth. And so you're not in the way of the stagehands or you're not in the way of the ensemble coming out. And it's crazy.
So how did the whole thing start?
It literally, my agent called me and said, I just got a call from the producers of Waitress. And they were wondering if you would want to be Old Joe in the play. I said, well, I've never seen Waitress, so I don't know. I remember vaguely the movie, and I knew Andy Griffith played the role in the movie, but I remember when the musical came out, I thought, how are they making a musical out of Waitress? Because that's kind of a dark movie. But they did, and they did a wonderful job of it. And I went to see it with my daughter, Lila, who is, as I said, was in Paris, but she went to LaGuardia Performing Arts. She was like a musical theater.
Oh, the Fame School.
Yes, the Fame School. And we saw the show, and I thought, I can't do this. And she said, Dad, you can do this. You can. I said, but there's a song. She goes, well, you can talk on pitch. You can do this. So, you know.
That's kind of, you know what? That's a really kind of wonderful role reversal. Usually parents are the one pumping up their kids,
yes,
especially during the teenage years, mm-hmm, when they're sort of questioning who they are. It's really, that's sort of lovely that your daughter got behind you and had to give you like, Dad, you can do this.
Yeah, so I said yes. And then, you know, like my wife, Deborah, you know, who's, 2020, Deborah Roberts on ABC, you know, she said, what? I don't understand. Why you? I said, I don't know. I really don't. But in the end, you know, she was a little nervous about it just from the physical standpoint of mm-hmm doing it, because I still have to do the Today Show.
Right, which means you have to be at 30 Rock at like
5:30, 5:45.
Goodness gracious.
I'm about a little more than a week in. And so far, it's okay. I normally don't nap, and now I've been taking naps. Which still I'm not used to, but it's so much fun. The group, the crew, and the cast are so, you get that stereotypical idea of the Broadway, mm-hmm, they're very very selfish and out for each other, and and this couldn't be any further from the truth. Maybe there are some shows like that, but not this one. Everybody could not be lovelier. I mean, Nicolette Robinson, who plays Jenna, who's the first Jenna of color, is just amazing in this role. And I room with this guy named Benny Elledge, who plays Cal, the cook. And he's a delight, and we're right next to the other two waitresses, who are Dawn and Becky, and I couldn't have, if I was going to do this, mm-hmm. could not have fallen into a better situation than this family there.
Now, obviously, you had to prepare because
yes.
you have to sing.
Yes,
and you were training with a pretty well-known vocal coach.
Yeah, this guy Derek Rosenblatt, who I. You know, this is not my world, so I have no idea. And I asked a couple of friends who are in this business, in the theater world, who I said, I need a coach. And three of them said, oh, if you could get in to see Derek Rosenblatt, you would be well served. And he's been terrific, and he's been a lot of fun. And sometimes it's almost like a therapy session, because we talk about anything but singing. But, you know, he was convinced that I could do this when I certainly wasn't. And he's gotten me to be passable, you know, so I think. He's just a delight.
What did you learn about vocal training? Because you are on a live television show for 3 or 4 hours a day. You have to project over the crowd that shows up at 30
right.
Rock. What did you learn about protecting your instrument, your voice, and also about people who have to do that on stage?
Well,
day after day,
I have a new appreciation for musical theater artists because, look, I have one song. It's literally 2 minutes. I mean, somebody like Nicolette, who has, I don't even know how many songs she's got, but and with lots of range. The thing that he told me, and then and I remember my college professor telling me this, and then forgetting about it when I was in broadcasting. Is that, you know, you don't have to shout. You've got a microphone, you know. And so he said, they'll take care of you. You know, the audio people will take, you know, because today, especially, everybody has a mic on. Mm-hmm. But what I learned from him, even more importantly, is about breathing, you know, about how to breathe to get the most out of your instrument. And so if nothing else, I will probably use that going forward, mm-hmm. just in my day-to-day world.
Is there any similarity between the performance that you have to give in front of, you have a live audience every day at the Today Show, versus a live audience sitting in seats staring at you? Is there any similarities?
I mean, our audience is outside, and, you know, we go out to them, and it's free. These are people who are paying good money to sit in somewhat uncomfortable seats to be entertained and to be taken to a different place.
That's a level of responsibility.
Yeah. And so and all of a sudden that's kind of a like wow. But what I found, much like the Today Show, is that every day is different. You know, it's the same script. But every day is different. The audience is different. Your coworkers are maybe a little different. But it's both share the same thing in that they're both exhilarating, and I get extremely nervous before each one. Mm. I mean, you don't get nervous before you go on the Today Show. I get nervous every time I've got to do something publicly, you know, because it's like I could do something that will take this whole thing down, you know. But I think if you don't get nervous, then you're probably, it's time to leave.
To move along.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Al Roker. He is playing Old Joe, the diner owner in Waitress, now through November 18th at the Brooks Atkinson Theater. I'm sort of curious about you interview a lot of actors, obviously, on the stage. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people come through. And you hear people talk about their difference they feel when they are on stage versus doing a television show or doing a movie. Do you understand that a little better now?
What do you understand? I understand what's surprising is, and I think even if you've been doing it for a while, you're still surprised. I had one of my stage managers said, you know, listen, if you don't get the reaction you're looking for, it was Thursday. It was this past Thursday. She goes, sometimes Thursday's crowds are not the best. You know, it's we don't know why, but they just don't. You know, by and large, don't react.
Something about the rhythm of the
week.
Yeah,
the week. And this past Thursday, the audience couldn't have been more engaged. I mean, we were getting laughs where they normally don't get laughs. And she says, well, I guess I don't know what I'm talking about. And I think that's the magic of it, you know, that every audience is different. Every performance is different. And look, there, even though the Today Show is live, I mean, somewhere somebody's recording it. You do this performance and it's done. The only place it lives is in the memory of the people who watched it. So that, you know, for each person, this is a unique experience. And so you are painting something on individual canvases, mm-hmm. and each canvas is different. So I think, you know, you're drawn to that and perhaps even energized by it, because you don't know until you say the line what's going to happen.
And that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. In this world, everything is recorded and goes viral
and
spread.
This will be a podcast.
Exactly.
Somebody can somebody listen to us, you know, 30, 40, 50 years from now on some media, whatever it is. You know, the performance I give tonight will never exist anywhere else.
That's a lovely gift.
Except for in somebody's brain.
That's amazing to think about. You just mind blown. Have you had Today Show fans show up?
Yes, we have.
What's like?
We've had people. Yesterday, a woman had a sign that said, "I traveled 3,000 miles to see Al Roker and Waitress," which again is somewhat intimidating. You know, it's like, my God, this woman, not only did she pay money for this, but she's got expectations. She came from California all the way just for this. There were four women today. They said, we're going to see you today at Waitress. There were this morning, there were a bunch of people who came and said, we saw you yesterday in the matinee. You know, and so that's weird. You know, that I mean, it's weird enough that I don't know that I would get up early to stand outside to see me. I mean, I thank people for doing it. I love them for it. There are very few people I would do that for, and so that people think enough of our program to do that is you know, mind blowing.
And then you go home, and Deborah's like, "Take out the trash,
exactly.
Al."
You know, the kids.
I don't care if somebody came 3,000 miles.
Yeah, the kids are like, Dad thinks he's funny. Yeah, but people are actually paying to come see this. And it is an incredibly talented cast. I mean, Al's now a Broadway star. Well, I've got a supporting role, which is nice. But but there's also an excitement about, you know, Broadway. You know, it's still mm-hmm. Broadway. At the end
it
of the
is.
Day, it's still Broadway. You know, people come from all over the world and all over the country to go to see a Broadway play. And that's, you know, and I don't know how many, I'm sure somebody's figured out how many actors there have been on Broadway. But, you know, you're still, however many it is, it's still a small number when you look at the whole population.
Quite a fraternity. Do you have the bug now? Is there a role that you think, if they called, I'd say yes?
I have said, the very first Broadway show I ever saw, my mom took me in 1962 to go see A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, with Zero Mostel.
Oh, wow.
And I remember thinking, I want to be Soutelous. You know, now that's an incredible, I mean, I've seen it with Nathan Lane and I saw it with Whoopi Goldberg, and you know, that's no. But if you know, you were casting about and you could have your choice of anything, I would say King George in Hamilton. You know, because it's
the
not
the costume alone.
Yeah, the costume alone. I actually, Taron Killam did the role
from Saturday Night Live. Yeah,
from Saturday Night Live, and I did a piece on it. And he let me put on the robe. They let me put on the robe. That robe is heavy, as is the crown. You know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Well, it's a heavy costume.
That's pretty fun, and that is a fun role too. Mm. I can see you tearing it up.
My gosh, I think it's. I mean, other than playing Hamilton, I think it's the best role in the in the show. The best male role in the show.
That's interesting. You mentioned that you saw it as a kid because you're a New York guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Xavier down on 16th Street and grew up in Queens. When you think about Broadway then and you think about Broadway now and also the changes in the city, what changes are you really happy about and which ones make you sigh with a little sadness?
I hate the fact that there's and I hope they're not a sponsor, but I hate the fact that on almost every corner there's a Duane Reade or a Starbucks. You know, it's although I do see, maybe not so much in the pharmaceutical end of it, but I do see almost a backlash against the corporate stuff. And you see all these great, like, mom and pop and small coffee shops that have grown up. I think people are kind of like, you know, I really want something where people know who I am and it's not a big thing. You know, to me, it's the same thing with, I think people want analog almost more.
Authenticity,
more
too.
Yeah. And so that part drives me nuts. But I do love the fact that Broadway's, you know, and the arts are probably more vibrant than ever. That there is, that the thing about New York City is that you can still, you know, I mean, find an incredible exhibit at the New York Historical Society or any number of smaller museums that populate not just Manhattan, but, you know, the boroughs.
Sure.
And that the food scene is just insane now, you know, and but again, all across all five boroughs of New York City, not just Manhattan.
Yeah, I went to the Brooklyn Museum on Sunday, and I got out. I was like, "Do I look really rough?" Because they're like, "You don't have to pay the 16; it's just suggested." I was like, "I'll pay it."
It's okay.
I don't know what you're saying about the way I'm dressed or something, but
all right.
But then I thought to myself, "That's great. You know, a student can come and check out these exhibits, and that's the way it should be."
Yeah, and in almost any realm that they're interested in, you know, whether it's the moving picture or radio or music or art, you know, it's just, it's all out there. And that, you know, and the fact that, you know, I mean, yes, and we all as New Yorkers complain about the subway system. Yes, okay. But guess what? You know, you go anywhere else in the world and it's probably 3 to 4 times as much. And, you know, you pay depending on the time and how much longer how far you go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when you think every day, this subway system moves the equivalent of a city in America.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's crazy.
We're speaking with Al Roker. He's playing Old Joe in Waitress until November 18th. But, you know, Al, you've got so much going on. Oh, my God. Did Deborah just want to get you out of the house? What's going on?
Yes, that just goes without saying.
You've got cookbooks. You've got the Today Show. You are an author of mysteries now.
Yes, I wrote
that happen?
I wrote 3 murder mysteries. The first one, the character's name is Billy Blessing. And he's a New York restaurateur, chef, and also a kind of a sub co-host on a network morning show. He happens to be a bald, somewhat chunky African American man. So, and the first one is called The Morning Show Murders, and the executive producer of a morning show, network morning show, is killed, and he's the prime suspect. And
can't imagine that happening.
Yeah, why would that? Why would that possibly happen? And then we wrote 2 more. But what's been fun is we've turned them into Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, a franchise, The Morning Show Murders. We turned Billy Blessing to a woman played by Holly Robinson Peete. And so we're just wrapping film. We just wrapped filming the 3rd one in Vancouver and getting ready to film the 4th one. And her love interest is Rick Fox, the former NBA player turned actor. Oh, wow. Oh, my. Well, Allison.
I do enjoy him on Greenleaf. Okay. He's very good on Greenleaf.
Yes, he is.
Ruthless Tide. It's another history. You're taking a dip into history.
Yeah, this is our second historical weather book. First one was called A Storm of the Century, about the 1900 Galveston hurricane. And this one is about, Ruthless Tide is about the Johnstown flood of 1889. Everybody had heard about it, but the story behind it is really one that's kind of almost like today, in that it was about the one percenters back then who wanted a nature preserve and with a lake, and they built it on the back of a faulty dam, and the folks down in the valley. This was during the Industrial Revolution, you know, the Gilded Age, I should say, when you had names like Carnegie and Frick there in western Pennsylvania. And anyway, they built this lake on a dam that eventually gave way, and 20 million tons of water went rushing down into the valley, the Conemaugh Valley, and wiped out the city of Johnstown and four other smaller cities. And still to this day, the greatest flooding disaster in America, 2,000 people lost, upwards of more than 2,000 people lost their lives. And it was basically because of greed, avarice, and hubris.
Your work as a TV producer, as an executive producer, all these shows, there's the great one about the woman who rescues dogs. That just breaks your heart. And then there's this one I thought was really interesting called, because we're in New York City, The Graduates NYC. Let's take a listen to the trailer.
I attended North Carolina Central University. Eagle pride amplified.
I went to Florida A&M University, where we strike, strike, and strike again.
I am the epitome of a Morehouse man.
I went to North Carolina A&T, Aggie pride.
And I went to the real HU, Hampton University.
I went to Howard University, the real HU.
People in New York don't want to be in a relationship. People come to New York focused on their career.
I am not expected to pay any bills.
If it's too expensive for you to live here on your own, then you probably shouldn't be here.
I want to talk to you today about marriage.
So folks who didn't pick that up, that's about graduates from HBCUs who come to New York
trying to
make it
in the city. And these were just a group of really terrific young people. You know, we were trying to do, when we do programming, we try to do something that at the end of the day, I feel like my kids could watch, that they're not going to, that it's not exploitive. And these are six kids, young people who are just terrific young people, and you know, the trials and tribulations of trying to make it in a city the size of New York and still be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. And they're all doing well.
When did you realize that reality TV didn't have to be trash?
You know, I just kind of fell into it, I think. You know, I did a number of shows for the Food Network, and you know, that's kind of feel good television. You know, people like watching food. I mean, I think there was a survey that, and I think it still holds up, 57% of the people who watch the Food Network don't cook. You know, they just like watching it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a term they use, food porn. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, you know, there's no reason why you can't do stuff that's, look, we could probably do the usual shows and our company would be a lot bigger, but, you know, I just can't do it.
Before I let you go, there's a very famous picture of you, famous around here, going to the White House, carrying a WNYC tote bag.
Really?
Yes. You've never seen this?
I have never seen that.
Oh, we're going to have to show that to you.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, did you pledge for that? Did you donate?
I doubt it. I think somebody
gave it to you.
I think somebody gave it to me. I think I maybe did somebody's show here, and they gave me a tote bag.
Well, Al, now's your time.
Now's the time.
It's the fundraiser.
It's the fundraiser.
And they gave me a special thing. I mean, if you text all of it to 70101.
70101.
It'll pop up on your phone, and you can make a donation.
You can make a donation.
Maybe I'll get you one of the little speakers, too.
Wow.
Or a fanny pack as well.
I don't need a fanny pack. I don't need...
anything.
I don't need anything anywhere near my fanny area. That's just ridiculous.
And that's an excellent note to end this interview on. Al Roker, he's playing Old Joe, the diner owner and waitress, through November 18th at the Brooks Atkinson Theater. Al, it was great to see you again.
You too, Allison.
Thanks for coming by. You've been listening to All of It on WNYC. We'll be back after a quick break.